Bigfoot Eruption presents Judy as she continues to share about the Sasquatch family and their Sasquatch clan that has become a big part of her life.
You know, they have a hierarchy. And this part is precious to me. Tinker went before the council and fought for Neil and I to become part of the family. And when he went away to do that, he came to me and he apologized. And, you know, it really bothered him that the tribe wasn't going to accept us, or, you know, he thought it wasn't. And part of that is because of Neil. And Neil is, he's a white guy, completely 100%. There's no Native in him, but he's my mate. And so that was important to Tinker. And they were gone for about 3 weeks. And, you know, I'm used to hearing from him weekly. And so when he came back, he popped in. And I've never seen him smile until that day. And he had the biggest smile on his face. And he came over, and while I couldn't see him, he gave me this huge hug. And since then, things have been peaceful.
Full acceptance.
Yeah.
To see the inner workings, a structure, not government necessarily, but how they do things. When you said the word council, I had to start writing notes on my arm. I filled my notebook, and the back of my hand is full. a council, a way of order, a way of surviving, a way of having the structure of a society.
Yes. Absolutely.
A society we cannot see.
Another thing that's interesting is that they're monogamous.
Oh, okay. One mate, one partner.
Right. And there's a new video out that I saw on the Facts by How to Hunt, and it shows a family running across a prairie. The prairie has, there's water on top of the prairie, you know, and you see both adults, and they're watching the kids. There are three children of different ages. And you know, if they were human children, the way it looked like they were skating over the water. And that was really cool. It's a neat video.
Oh.
If you have a chance,
okay,
go check it out.
Okay. I'll definitely be checking that out. So they frolic, they play.
Absolutely.
They have places the young ones can play. So my hypothesis is their senses are so keen, if humans are coming, they just know that miles before you even get there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you think they go underground?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
There are our mountain up here is riddled with caves. And during the winter, that's where they live. So, Tinker has sent me visuals of him out hunting in the snow, with, he's got a huge buck across his shoulders, and he's headed for a cave in the mountains. And, yeah, so.
I've had a lot of thoughts about how they hide the entrance to these, and considering they're so strong, they could probably easily cover up the entrance.
Oh, yeah. Well, the two that are up and visible have lava bombs in front of them. Do you know what that is, Albert?
I don't.
Okay. What a lava bomb is, and they're actually fairly common where there's volcanic activity. It's where there's been an explosion, and some of the lava has formed itself into a ball and embedded itself into, you know, a wall somewhere. Not all of them are cave entrances, but at least two of them are.
Okay. Is it also possible that we've heard of infrasound and how that...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that affects behavior. Is it possible there's a guard posted to send infrasound that makes an oncoming person maybe, not Jedi mind control, but to disorient, not cloaking necessarily of the cave entrance, but to disorient the person enough to where they're not even going to notice and walk by.
Right. That's absolutely possible.
Okay.
And another thing that they do is they can send out fear.
Oh, yeah.
And so Junior is, he's a preteen, and he's mischievous, and he's learning things. And he's very often in trouble with his parents. Well, one evening, Neil and I were home, and all of a sudden, I knew something was out there. And I felt this just sense of fear. Now, I'm a hard person to scare. But this fear just settled on me. And fortunately for me, I knew what it probably was. So I went to the front door. Junior's on the front porch. And he's got this look on his face like, oh, I screwed up. And Tinker shows up, scolds him, and drags him away. It's a good thing that the neighbors can't see him.
Right.
Because that would have been shocking. But he hasn't done that again, and he came back and he apologized. But he was grounded from us for quite a while.
I have heard juveniles are quite cantankerous and joking around like that.
Oh, yeah. You know, the stories of where, you know, someone's out camping or in a cabin or something, and something comes by and hits on a door or a window or something like that, that's a juvenile.
I was thinking that may be the case. I have a friend and has rocks hit the side of the house at night. Why would an adult really do that? No.
No, they don't. It's the kids being ornery.
Yeah.
Yep. So, you know, it's been quite a journey. And it isn't over. You know, we were over in Prineville visiting friends about a month ago. And have you been to Prineville?
I have. I know someone there. Yeah.
You know how the buttes are above the city?
Yes.
Okay. We were heading back to Redmond, and I watch everything outside. And as we were coming up the last curve, there's a Sasquatch standing there, just as plain as day. Now, the pine trees up there are about 20 feet tall.
Yeah.
And he was about 3/4 of that. And he just stood there and watched us. And, you know, I could have talked myself out of it, But then he turned and walked away. And so, and Neil saw him too.
Cool.
And so, as we got back into Tinker's territory, I reached out to him and I said, did you cause that? And he just laughed and he said, yeah.
Ah.
He said, you wanted to see one of us. So he arranged it. And he keeps telling us that we're not ready yet to see him. And Neil would absolutely love to see him.
Yeah.
You know, and he says that when we're ready, you know, that they'll become visible. But in the meantime, it's been quite a journey.
So when you say Junior was on the front porch and looked like he had been caught, you're getting a mental image.
Yes. Yes.
And like you said, good thing the neighbors couldn't see it because it was quite the spectacle.
Yep.
So you feel this relationship when you think of Tinker in your mind, you have in your mind what his face looks like.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And as I mentioned before, he calls me his little sister.
Right. Right. In a text, you told me that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
Tinker especially has this bond with you, and yet there's a council, there's a community, but this clan, well, wait, clan versus
tribe or clan
of
either one.
Tinker, Avery, and one child, is that a clan?
No. That's a family, and they're part of a clan. And, you know, as far as having met others, I haven't. But I know that, so there's a separate clan in the Coast Range, and then there's our clan, and then there's a clan over in the Deschutes. And they're all friendly. They're all aware of Neil and I. Like when we go over to Redmond, we usually stop at the rest area up top. And the first time we did that, it hasn't happened. I mean, since meeting these beings, it hasn't happened since. But the clan in the Cascades were up there watching for us, and they have different auras as far as each clan goes. Like Tinker's clan is friendly and open. The clan in the Deschutes is very standoffish, and the clan over on the Oregon coast are full of mischief. So we have a family reunion there most years. And Neil and I went home early because I had church in the morning. And so my brothers and sisters and cousins decided they were going to walk up to the old home place. And it's a gravel road. And while they were walking, the clan was there throwing acorns at them. And what's interesting about that is there are no oak trees up there. It's all alder.
Oh, wow.
So they got the acorn somewhere and they were throwing it at them.
I can just imagine them trading with the other groups.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. But I've heard different viewpoints, and you know, with a subject like that, you're going to hear lots of different things. But I've heard that because of mind speak and portal travel, that they all intercommunicate. But I've also heard that they don't. So I know that these particular tribes do, And I think they're probably intermarried as well. But if you can call it that. But, you know, the truth of the matter is we have so much to learn about them.
Yeah. So you mentioned intermarrying. We've heard how some trips or migrating trips might be because of taking on a new partner.
Right.
Birthing and having help in doing so with other groups. They're in these other areas. They seem settled in these other areas. The idea of migrating, what would the purpose be since they seem to have a home base?
Well, I think a lot of it depends on weather. I mean, here in Oregon, sure we get snow in the winter, but it's not really dense snow. And they have the caves and there's plenty of food, you know, plenty of water, so they've got everything they need to survive. But that's not true in other places, like up in Canada. I mean, there are times when, you know, there's 12, 14 feet of snow. And so if they don't migrate, you know, they don't have food to live off. They don't have shelter, you know, things like that. Plus, I think a lot of it also comes from not wanting to interbreed. Because, you know, they're definitely not as populous as humans. And so, you know, I think that could be a problem.
So migrating those that need to, how do these established clans in their region, how do they feel about a migrating tribe coming through?
Well, I think that depends on the tribe. You know, if they're welcoming, if they're expected, if they follow the rules, and there very definitely are rules, some of them don't welcome humans. And, you know, they just rather not have them around. And I don't think that they manage well with the tribes that do welcome us.
Interesting. You're right. There's so much for us to learn. So the Deschutes clan might be less likely to be welcoming to a migrating tribe. And yet, these others in the Cascades, the Deschutes, and the Oregon coast have a communication and portal system. And yet now I'm curious about the ones in Canada, the ones in Idaho, Montana, the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. Have you ever wondered to ask Tinker, how were the pyramids built?
Well, I don't have to ask him that. I know how they were built.
Okay. I believe pre-flood with ancient tech that we don't understand.
Well, so I'm very interested in archaeology. And yes, I agree, they are pre-flood, especially considering what they've discovered lately.
Yeah.
But, so there was an archaeologist who discovered this particular mineral that causes things to float, and it doesn't matter how much they weigh. And the way he discovered this, he found some on his property, and it's been known to the Egyptians since time immemorial, but he found some on his property, and he was a wealthy man who grew cotton. but nothing would grow in this field. So he took it to a university that he was affiliated with, and they tested it. And it's this white mineral. It weighs absolutely nothing. And when you put it on something natural, stone, metal, you know, whatever, it'll float in the air. Doesn't matter how much it weighs. How's that for interesting?
That is interesting. Of this planet or other?
Oh, yeah. No, it's on this planet.
We just don't know how to use it, I'd take it.
Well, it's not that we don't know how to use it. It's that most people don't know that it even exists.
Hard to find?
Yeah. And Albert, you know as well as I do that if they can lie about it to us, they do so.
Right.
Yes. But, you know, there are other options. And this is something new. You know, we've been taught that everything's gravity. Well, turns out it isn't. Everything's magnetism. And you know what happens when you put two magnets together that are opposites? They push against each other.
Right.
Think about that. I mean, that kind of blows your mind, doesn't it?
Right. People are so used to the idea, they've kind of taken it for granted, that part.
Yeah. Yeah. So there, you know, there are so many things out there that we don't know anything about.
And if we did know about them, then just like two magnets repelling each other, we just come to accept it and we call it science.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of science, the paranormal, in fact, the supernatural, the paranormal. Okay, that's another discussion. What is the paranormal versus the supernatural? But I say this, once we know something, it just becomes science that we know.
Mm-hmm. You know who Gene Roddenberry was, right?
Oh, yes. Star Trek?
Okay, yes. So, before he died, he told somebody that he trusted that he had been abducted by aliens and taken off the planet. And he based Star Trek on what he saw up there.
Okay. Which means he's given us a glimpse of
the future.
Of what is, what could be, what is somewhere. Yeah. Wow. Okay. I've seen every episode. I'll have to watch them again now that I've heard that. Oh.
Well, and you know, we could have quite the conversation about this.
Yeah.
But that's not Sasquatch.
No. With that in mind, I was about to say how flip phones may have come from that technology of Star Trek, but
well, of course they did.
Yeah. We've heard there's technology that the government knows about before it's revealed to us. The stealth technology, stealth bomber, stealth fighter, the internet, cell phones.
Med beds. They're real.
Things they've been using. And eventually they get the information. They release the information when they want to, which is another discussion. The timing, why, who's in control. But Bigfoot. With all that in mind, there's forces, there's entities, there's fallen angel bad guys who want to be in control of something. And so Bigfoot, the origins of Bigfoot. One seer who says she has visions of heaven said that she saw creatures that resemble what we call Sasquatch up there. So a hypothesis is created by God for a purpose, and what better way to hide an army, a very smart army, ability to go through any terrain, for what purpose? Maybe the end times?
Yeah. You know, if Tinker wanted to, he could pick me up in his arms and hold me like a baby. That's how big he is.
Mm.
And I would not be in the least bit afraid. So, yeah, you know, wow. You know, a lot of people don't believe, but they haven't experienced. And I think that that's changing. I think people like you and like Steve Isdall and the other truthers out there, not the guys that have the Sasquatch programs. I think that's a bunch of hooey, you know, but they, and you may disagree with me on that, and that's fine, but there's so much we don't know about him, and I think my world is better for having this family in it, and Neil does as well. I know that we've been hearing for years that there's going to be a huge earthquake off the Oregon coast, and that it's going to take out the coast range, and the water's going to come almost up to Lebanon. And if that happened, I know without a shadow of a doubt that I could reach out to Tinker and he'd help me. He'd take Neil and I to safety and as many of our friends as was possible. I know he would do that.
He's already shown he wants to protect you. He may reach out to you.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
And I wouldn't be surprised if his group would have the knowledge of such things coming.
Oh, I'm sure they do. Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Say, how about I start asking some questions about questions I have or questions that I have because of what we've been talking about.
Go ahead.
Okay. Do they age 1 year at a time like we do human years?
Now, that's another controversy. I've heard both. I've heard that they can live to be 1,000 years old. I've also heard that they only live to be about 100. It just depends on who you're talking to. Now, I haven't asked Tinker that.
Mm.
That's something that I'll do. And I don't know if they even understand that thinking. But, you know, because they are, the way they think is very similar to someone with autism. And who are on the genius scale. And but I've heard both. And I think the ones that are 20 feet tall, they have to be ancient.
Oh, yeah. Now, death might come up as Tinker experiences people in the clan or his community.
Yes.
Which would be the clan. People dying. It might come up eventually. And when it does, then you'll learn how old and how the burial process happens. I have some ideas based on books, but it may come up eventually.
I've already experienced that. But the death wasn't natural.
Oh, no.
There was a young Sabe female. Who she encountered some hunters and they shot her.
Oh man.
This happened this fall.
I'm sorry.
I felt them mourning.
Okay.
And they were angry, but they didn't retaliate. And I'm not sure why they didn't. But the morning was heartbreaking, and it was just before that Tinker went to the council, and so I know he went heartbroken. because, you know, they care so much about their family. And I would think that eventually, if they catch the guy, there will be retribution.
If that guy comes back, watch out.
Right.
So I'll be watching and listening on the podcast that I listen to about someone calling and sharing about an encounter like this. And then I'll tell you, and when these encounters happen, we've heard, don't shoot, don't kill one. Because
no.
Because his buddies are going to get you. They're there.
Well,
they're not alone. They're usually not alone.
Yeah, and it isn't only that. Albert, these are people. These are people with hearts, family, civilization. I mean, lives and experience and abilities that we can't even imagine. And you know, like I said before, sure, there are bad ones, but the majority aren't. And watching them mourn over this young female, you know, I can feel their emotions. And I just, you know, I sat here and cried with them.
Have you read the book Enoch, A Bigfoot Story by Autumn Williams? Or, yeah, Autumn Williams, Amy Williams. You've read that?
Uh-uh.
Oh, you'd like it. It's about in Florida, a man has experiences, gets to know the clan. You learn about eating habits, burial habits, emotions, love. So Enoch, A Bigfoot Story, I recommend that.
Okay, I'll look it up. And you heard that recently up in British Columbia, they found a giant tree stump. And it was probably 20 or 30 feet tall, but it had, you know, just been severed at that height. And when they went to take it down, they found a giant skeleton in it.
Oh, I had not heard that.
Yeah. Yep. I heard that on the Facts by How to Hunt.
Now,
so,
I've heard of Sasquatch burying under a young tree, and the young tree
yes.
would grow, but inside a giant stump, you say?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. I'll look that up.
Do. Yeah, I highly recommend the Facts by How to Hunt. Once you start listening, you'll be hooked.
Okay.
So,
another question. If I had been with you and your husband in Prineville that day, less likely that Tinker would have allowed you to see a fellow Sasquatch?
Oh, no. I think he had a purpose for that. And I don't think you being with us would have been a deterrent.
Okay. Another question.
Oh,
yes.
The Sasquatch that we saw?
Yeah.
One of Tinker's cousins. He put him up to it.
Cousins.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's just say Sweet Home to Prineville. That's a good walk.
Yeah.
But it makes sense that the clan would extend out of Sweet Home with a large radius.
Yes.
That's so cool. Another question. We've heard, like, the Army gets involved. They do some control of the species. How does the clan deal with humans and that relationship or that stay away from us? Another way to say it is, if you've seen a Sasquatch and you tell someone of authority, they often say, no, you saw a bear, which is ridiculous. Because if you simply say, oh, bummer, sorry, are you okay? What harm does it do to say that, knowing that most people aren't going to believe the person anyway? But instead they say, oh, no, you saw a bear, and they're kind of a jerk about it. It's
yeah,
as if,
I've heard the
yeah,
stories.
It's like they know. So the government officials like park rangers, forest rangers, protecting the clan they know about and have been told to be quiet?
Well, I think that's the directive. But I do know people who work for the Forest Service who talk openly about it, but they don't keep their jobs for very long.
Oh.
So, and I know for a fact that most of the tribes want nothing to do with the military.
Right.
And some of them have been,
captured,
coerced into helping. You know, you hear stories of people that are out in the woods and they see military helicopters, and Sasquatch are coming down the ladders from the helicopters and then taking deer and elk up to them, like they've been hunting for them. So,
oh, okay.
But I don't think they do it willingly.
Okay. So if I had evidence of Bigfoot, or if someone had evidence of Sasquatch, and take it to the authorities, or take it to people that can get in touch with the university, or move the needle on this, it dries up. It doesn't really get there. Doesn't go anywhere. This must mean there's a protection system in place.
Well, I'm not sure that it's a protection system. I think they're afraid of this creature that has so many more abilities than they have. I mean, if you were in the military, wouldn't you be afraid of someone that could disappear, that could go through a portal, that could read your mind, that could turn into something else? Wouldn't that scare you to death?
Yes, the ultimate soldier against me.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's more fear.
Okay, so containment, keep the population from knowing too much about it. They don't want the population to get scared or start shooting things. Just leave it alone. Tell people you saw a bear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're nothing like a bear.
Right.
I mean, just having been involved with them, and you know, I grew up with bears. I mean, we had a sow and two cubs who used to come and raid our garbage can, and my dad taught the female not to take the garbage out, because if she took the garbage out, then she didn't get any food the next day. And she taught her cubs the same thing. So they are teachable, but in no way, shape, or form are they as smart as these Sasquatch people.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, and you hear about gifting.
Right.
Now, that's bad, and that's good. And most of the time, it's not recommended. Because it's like feeding a stray dog and then moving. You know, the food's there and then it's not.
Right. Now, if you've been tagged gifting, so do you gift to Tinker and his family?
No.
Okay.
I've only done it once. And we were out hunting, and I had this really nice apple. And the reason that I did it, the area that we were in. Now, remember I said there are other things out there?
Right.
So the area that we were hunting, I had had a really bad feeling the entire day. And we got to this area that it was mostly grass and small shrubs, and there was a road through it. And have you ever been in the wilderness when everything goes totally silent?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there are reasons. One of them is that a Sasquatch is near, but there were no Sasquatches near. This was something else, and it felt empty. That's the only way I can describe it. And all of a sudden, I heard this extremely odd whistle, and the tone of it, instead of going down, it went up. And that, the hair on the back of my neck just stood straight up. And it was completely silent. And so we left and went into another area, and it felt completely different. And Tinker let me know that we were safe there. And so I had this big red apple, and I put it on a stump. And Junior popped in, and he had this big grin on his face, and he goes, "I get to have the apple." So we went by the next day, and it was still there. Oh. And I couldn't figure that out. And then the next day, it was gone. And Junior popped in, and he said, "That apple was really good. Thank you." But they never asked for more. And he understood that that was a thank you for clearing out that area. And mm-hmm. I think that the reason the apple wasn't there or was still there on the first day was that the area still needed cleaning. So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So tell me, does Avery talk about me much? And people don't know that story.
Avery is really reticent. She doesn't trust humans. And the only reason that she trusts me is because of Tinker and Junior. And the day that we were at Walmart, I had invited her to come because I wanted her to see the best in people. And when people come and give money and you're ringing bells, you know, there's so much joy in that. You rarely find anybody that's cranky or unhappy. And I wanted her to see that. And she only stayed for about 10 minutes. But when she left, her aura was lighter. But, you know, fortunately, she trusts me. But she doesn't want to go near Neil, you know. Hmm. And Junior loves Neil. So, and Tinker trusts him.
We often hear how the alpha male is the one that's less easy to get to know, more rigid. So fascinating that the female in this family is the one that's harder to warm up to others.
Well, I don't know for certain, but I would bet you that she had a bad experience.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
And she's beautiful. I don't mean that her hair is beautiful. Her face is beautiful. If you saw her, she's stunning. Her features are beautiful. You know, she's got this gorgeous golden hair, and she doesn't have a lot of hair on her face.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think someone hurt her.
Okay.
So, It just, oh, and another thing, the names that we call them, that's not their tribal name. That's names that they give themselves so that we identify with. And at one point, a young female introduced herself to me. I couldn't pronounce her name. It was something like Hayakta, you know, or something like that. But yeah.
So very American Indian.
Yeah.
I was stationed at Tinker Air Force Base once upon a time. So when you told me his name was Tinker, that caught my attention. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
To learn how they picked their names. How fun.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know how they do that, but they do. You know, it wasn't something we call Junior because he's, you know, he's Tinker and Avery's kid. But
yeah.
Someday when he gets old enough, you know, he'll present us with a name that he chooses. But right now, you know, he's fine with Tinker. I mean, with Junior.
That's great. You know, and it's so fun that they're good with that and they know what that means.
Yeah.
Let's briefly discuss origins. We could say we were born from a mother and a father. Well, we have the creation story. Let's talk about Sasquatch origins.
You know, your Bible.
Right.
And you know the story of the two brothers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was Harry.
Yep. I think that's your origin.
And then that brother left. That brother loved hunting, loved being outdoors. His group, the Edomites, eventually left the area because they were different.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, some think are what the Yeti are, and then somehow the land bridge hypothesis probably enters in for coming over to North America.
Yep.
Isn't it cool? Yep. Isn't it cool how that matches biblically, but it also matches what scientists who don't want to believe in the Bible talk about that land bridge.
Yep. Yep, and they've recently discovered another one. I was just reading about it yesterday. Yeah, so that's you know, I think that's their origin because, you know, I know what the Holy Spirit feels like when he wraps his arms around me. I know that incredible feeling of love. And the only thing I've ever felt that was close to that, besides my husband, was when Tinker hugs me. And it's such an incredible feeling. You know you're safe. You know that nothing can hurt you. And you know that you are precious and treasured. And it's really hard to explain that to someone who hasn't experienced it.
Right. Wow. Well, that's a perfect place to end. However,
my phone's starting to die anyway.
I was wondering if mine was going to die soon. I still have a bunch of questions written on the back of my hand. I will talk to you again sometime. Definitely.
You bet. Yeah. Albert, this was a pleasure.
Oh, thank you.
So, yeah. And thank you for being patient with me. Life gets extremely busy.
No problem. So. No problem. It was worth the wait. I can share stories of how I almost met people in your situation and then I lost track of them. And that's why our story of meeting was so cool, because I almost lost track of you a couple times and still found you again. So very good. Very good. Thank you.
Well, you are welcome. And Albert, if you don't mind me saying, God bless you.
I don't mind. Bless you.
Oh,
God bless you. Yes.
By the way, Tinker says goodbye.
Thank you, Tinker. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.